Merry Christmas, y'all.
Merry Christmas.
We are 1 week closer to Christmas, and as we look toward the Christmas season, we are touching on our second podcast for the Christmas Unwrapped series.
Right.
This week we are discussing, as we talked about last week, reconnecting with relatives and family. Very touchy subject for some this time of year.
Sure.
And so we're kind of diving into what that looks like, the challenges of spending time with, you know, maybe relatives and family that maybe you have like complicated back, you know, history with, you know, just this time frame's stressful in itself. So, you know, adding on maybe differences of faith or, you know, morals, just kind of how to navigate that during this season can be very difficult. So we're, you know, kind of talking through what the Bible says about that, maybe personal experiences that we've had, and just kind of giving some input and hopefully some encouragement in this time frame.
Yeah, you may get together with, you know, people who, you know, age differences. Mm-hmm. You might have some believers, some unbelievers. Some call it dressing. Some call it stuffing. It, the way, the rage just goes on. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that, I mean, not everybody experiences this the same way year to year.
Because
some people can't make it, kind of thing, but when we do reconnect with relatives, I hope that we find that we have more in common with them than we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Even when things come up and that show us that we really don't have much in common. I mean, after all, at the end of the day, you are family.
Yeah.
Now, this is talking about family and friends.
Right.
But that was a little plug for the family, just trying to get us easing going there. So.
Yeah, so this week's Did You Know is a study that talks about 40% of Americans report feeling anxious and stressed out when it comes to family gatherings, especially during holidays.
Isn't it funny? Now, we're supposed to love our family, right? Because, well, they're family. But I've seen enough family get-togethers that unresolved conflicts from the previous time or things that happened, some slights or imaginary slights that you show up and you get something in your eye and someone says, what do you mean by that?
Oh, yeah. You remember when you were seven and you stole my Hot Wheels car? It was the pink one.
You know I love Hot Wheels cars.
Yeah, I think it's – there's a combination of – I mean, it's stressful during the holidays because there's just so much going on, end-of-year things with gifts and – parties and that kind of stuff. But I think, unfortunately, for some people, they find it reminds me so much of the Festivus from Jerry Seinfeld. It's almost like, I get to see you for this like 2 hour slot. You can't leave. I'm going to air my grievances with you now.
Here, hold the pole.
Right. So, unfortunately, some people take this time frame to really like let you have it and let you know how they're feeling about you. And it can be difficult because you're already stressed out. You have your own things going on. Maybe they slighted you and it becomes this like back and forth battle of like, we're trying to be in an environment where we're happy to see each other and we're thankful for another year together.
Sure.
Yet you're making this about a Hot Wheels car that I stole when I was five. So it can be very difficult. I know I've really had to learn, for me personally, how to let things roll off my back.
Sure.
And that, I think, has come with years of just being in the field that I am for graphic design. You got to be able to take criticism very easily. Otherwise,
you're going to thick skin.
Yeah, you got to be able to handle that because otherwise, you know, every, you know, well, why don't you like my red color in this design?
Right.
So I've had an easier time with that. My wife, less so. She's very emotionally driven when it comes to external influences.
Sure.
And so I know, you know, 1 year we had a little bit of a scuffle with my in-laws and just how they treated us and some words were said, and that resulted in us not seeing them for a period of time. Mm. And, you know, that was not ideal for anybody. I mean, it wasn't fun for us. It wasn't fun for them. Because at the end of the day, hopefully, everyone's there loving on each other. It's just difficult, more difficult so when it's highly concentrated areas when you haven't seen that person maybe.
Sure.
Or, and as guys, we tend to fall in this category. We bottle things up. And we don't talk about it. And so when high stressful situations occur, such as family gatherings of this nature, things can be said or done that maybe have more ramifications than we're, you know, aware of.
it's got so much complexity and layers to it that you may walk into a place that you didn't even know what happened last year. You left there saying, oh, what a great time. And then somebody else said, I cannot believe they said that. Or they didn't even ask me about how much weight I lost.
Right.
You walk in the next year thinking everything is fine, and they're still stuck in that same spot with a grudge.
Oh, yeah.
Reconciliation. What makes it difficult at family gatherings is that you may be ready to reconcile and they're not.
Yeah.
And the chances of you both being ready at the same time, it may take some time to get there. You may have to be there for a little bit. And you know, if you're two guys in between commercials and flag thrown, you talk about life in between, it may take some time to get there, but reconciliation at holiday gatherings. Ooh, boy.
Yeah, I try to think a lot about, you know, what the Bible says about, you know, loving your neighbor. And it says, you know, doesn't say family, it says neighbor, right? And so
the easy way out.
I take that more as anyone I see, I should try to love.
Sure.
You know, but it doesn't say they'll love me back. It doesn't say that because I love them, they will reconcile with me. Sure. I look at the perspective, I can control my emotions and my side of things as much as I can.
Yeah.
And I can forgive them and move on. If they choose to, you know, death grip onto this grudge and bring it up every chance they get, that's between them and the Lord, you know.
Boy, I come from a family of grudge holders. They can go pro. I mean, they forsake their amateur status decades ago. And I struggled with that when I was young, but I made that change when I was in my 20s that I wasn't going to do that. But hopefully, in a year's time, I have matured at least somewhat. So that when I do see them again, and this is, in this scenario, we're only seeing these people once a year. Hopefully you're seeing your family more than once a year. Yeah. But for those circumstances that someone flies in, everybody makes a concerted effort to get together this time of year, it's hopefully there's been some growth since the previous year. And you know, supposedly time heals all wounds, but boy, that's why there's so many Christmas movies about this exact thing. Four Christmases spring to mind. We laugh at it every year.
Yeah.
So the next one is diverse personalities. You have peacekeepers. You have people who lie in wait, waiting for these days. That crazy uncle that shows up and is like, oh, I can't wait to stir the pot this year. You know, and so... those kind of things, situations, I think that if you have not been invited to a family gathering in the last couple of years, we call that back home a hint. you might be the reason why there's so much strife and drama at these functions. And so if you're going to get together, know that there's a ton of personalities there that are different from yours. Pray about that before you get there so that you're not a hair trigger. Because while you, like you said, you can't control what someone else does, but you can probably control a little bit more of what you do, reflecting Christ and not be that, you know, waiting for drama to happen.
Yeah. When I was younger, especially in college, and I was a lot less mature, in my walk, I felt like I was looking for those things of like, oh man, can you believe they said this? I feel so hurt. And I realized very quickly, because it was just, it's a very dangerous place to be spiritually. Because when you let other people so easily, like, you know, maneuver your emotions and, you know, how you're feeling, you have way less control over your own life. You know?
So much control.
Yeah. And like at the end of the day, you have the most control. You should have the most control over those kind of situations, especially internally. And if I'm letting my emotions bob in the wind of, well, this teacher said this, my in-laws said that, my friend did this to me, and letting that control me, I'm not reflecting the Bible in any of that.
Sure. I won't say the person's name. That's as best I can do to help shield that. But this person loved to argue and debate about everything. Mm. And they always had a lot of self-insecurities, and so the causing arguments was their favorite thing to do. And so a few decades ago, I realized I'm going to change how I approach speaking with that person. And so it could be stories like, I just bought a new car last week. I really have been enjoying it. Oh, cool. What'd you get? And they say, or it could be, I stand on top of my roof and I throw rocks at neighbors when they pass. Cool. Once I did not react to their crazy, it melted away. One for me, but also for them. They realized they probably could not get a rise out of me anymore. Mm-hmm. And so they eventually stopped. And so while that took me some time to make that adjustment, you may find that saying less and listening more is some of the best things you could do at a family gathering.
Yeah. It was the joke about you had two ears and one mouth, right?
Right.
But I was reading one of my small talk books recently, conversationally speaking, and he talks about in the book, the best way to have meaningful conversations is to talk 20% of the time and listen the other 80% of the time.
Right.
And which is funny because you think, oh, if I'm talking with someone else, it's 50-50. But I've realized that the less I talk and the more I listen, the deeper I feel connected to that person because I'm hearing what they're saying.
Sure. Now, that does make for a very one-sided conversation. We have people that we know that it's like talking to this microphone stand. If you don't ask them a question, they don't speak.
You're right.
Like, are you still alive? Okay, just checking. So you have to be prepared for that. And I do think getting together with, you know, holiday gatherings, there's probably enough history on all of our lives that we probably should prepare ourselves before we do any of these.
Yeah.
So, and I love this verse we picked out, Joshua. It's Romans 12:18. Paul knew this way back in the day.
Oh, yeah. So verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, living peaceably with all.
I mean, you don't write that without some experience around that, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, like, if I wrote that verse, it'd be like, oh, I know who I'm talking about right now.
I'm looking right at you, Peter.
Yeah. So
that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I never think that, you know, God never says anywhere of like, you know, only love these people or
sure.
Love when it's easy. It's always love all, love when it's difficult. Mm. And we are called to be that in every instance of our lives. And so while it's difficult to, you know, some people don't make it easy to love them, but
I did not make it easy for God to love me.
Exactly. So, you know, looking at it through, I guess for some people, and this may fall more category of friends, you know, sometimes they don't have anyone else in their life and they
sure.
can only rely on family, you
right,
know,
yeah.
They don't have friends outside of family. So this is the only people that truly care about them in some capacity.
Sure.
So I know when shifting focus of, you know, what they've done to me to maybe their mental state or where they're at in their life helps me kind of framework where they're coming from. Sometimes I always look at the quote that I love is, you know, don't attribute to malice what can be attributed ignorance.
Mm. Yes.
There's a second portion of at a certain point, ignorance is indistinguishable between malice. But
right.
The first part, to, you know, putting yourself in the framework of maybe they're socially, you know, awkward. They
sure.
don't understand the ramifications of what they just said.
Right.
I know plenty of people my age and well above who just don't understand the concept of social etiquette.
No.
And so sometimes they say things off the cuff and just the entire room looks at them like they have a third eye.
And we're not talking about PC stuff or
oh,
like
yeah.
woke stuff here. We're not talking about like, you know, if you're a gentle little snowflake, we're not talking about that.
No.
We're talking about if you walk into a room and you start things like, hey, fatso.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you know, that triggers them.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. So I know right now it's difficult, even in this season, for your own thought process of all the things going on and the hecticness, there it is, of the season, to throw yourself in someone else's shoes. But prayer first, and then maybe looking at how they can, how they're looking at this interaction may help guide you in how to peacefully love them in this season.
It's a great segue to our second segment. So sit still and listen to some of our supporters. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. Sell your business? Viking Mergers and Acquisitions can help. With 25-plus years of experience and 800 successful sales, we're experts in securing maximum value. Get your free business valuation now at vikingmergers.com or call 866-592-9467. All right, welcome back to our second segment. I love this pain point. This is the difficulty of making the first move toward reconnecting to family and friends that may be a bit estranged. And like, this is the two-town gunslingers, right? You know, who goes first?
Right.
Drawing. You know you've done something wrong over the years. They know they've done something wrong. You both think one outweighs the other.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting next to each other. And you're like, I'll accept their apology if they go first.
Right. I will stare at my cup of cocoa until they say I'm sorry first.
They cough and they say, you say what? You say something? Did you apologize? No? Okay. Just waiting. And so it's, you know, I have on my dad's side, there's six kids, six siblings. My mom, five. So those family events were like a bit of a Jerry Springer episode most of the time. And over the years, the whole family did not get together, whether it be legal reasons or what. But it was very difficult to watch these people go through the process of who goes first trying to reconnect.
Right.
Our Did You Know section here says, research suggests that family estrangement affects at least 1 in 5 Americans, indicating the widespread nature of this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 out of 5, you know, 20% of people struggle with estranged, stressful relationships with other people in their family.
Yeah, I mean, and this goes both ways too. I mean, this could be you're the estranged one in that scenario as well, which can be very difficult during this time frame where maybe you're, you know, estranged from your kids, or you may, you know, you're divorced and you're alone, kind of thing. It can be very difficult during this time frame. I think the view of that perfect Christmas that we all chase, right? It plays so much on repeat in a lot of people's minds that it almost is like, well, we can't have a maybe not so nice conversation during Christmas because we can't talk about that right now. The kids are opening their presents. We'll talk about it later.
Right.
Which can, you know, further push people away, even if they are willing to make that first move. But to your point, I mean, we always feel like the other person's sin is way worse than ours. I mean, the fact the Bible talks about it so much, you know, like
the speck in your brother's eye, right?
Exactly. We always feel like we've been wronged way worse than the other person. And, you know, if I waited for everyone else who's wronged me to apologize first, I'd probably still be waiting for most of those apologies. And it, at the end of the day, I think you see a lot of it ties with pride, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, feeling that vulnerable nature of apologizing, like, I was wrong. And we don't like saying that we're wrong.
No. Not at all.
Especially during this Christmas season of, you know, like, well, this is supposed to be my joyful time. I don't want to be wrong. And sometimes I feel like we almost like, well, you got to apologize. And they're like, okay, fine, I'll apologize. But just so you know, you also hurt me. And they're like, I don't really care. You apologize. I'm not apologizing to you now. Right. It's like, I tricked you into apologizing first.
Right.
So it's weird because I know plenty of people who have relationships with their family that the way they handle flare-ups like this, or, you know, disagreements or slights, is they just don't talk about it. They just don't. They sweep it under the rug, and then 6 months later, when everyone rolls back around for birthdays or graduations or whatever, it's like a powder keg. It's awful.
Tinderbox.
It's such an odd way to handle it, and everyone does it. And I coming from the outside view in, seeing how they handle it, I'm always like, did you guys not think talking about it would be a good idea? Like, you just don't want to talk about it at all. And then next thing I know, someone says something under their breath and someone hears it, and then the tears and screaming start. And it's just like, oh, okay.
Maybe that's why they don't talk about it, because they are bad at talking about it. And all of a sudden someone does, and it doesn't come out as, I'd like to discuss what happened last time.
Mm-hmm.
I probably said some things. I know you said some things that hurt my feelings. I want to just talk through it and see if we can resolve that. That seems like a logical, rational way to start a conversation. It never goes that way. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
I got some issues with
right. I'm glad you were locked in now.
Reach over and lock the door.
Is someone parked behind you in the driveway? You can't leave? Good. Awesome. I do want to posit this, is if you have the opportunity and, say, have a beef with somebody that you know you're going to see around Christmas time, maybe try to meet with them prior to this.
Sure.
Phone call, coffee, something to
prime the pump.
Yeah, so that when you walk in, they don't feel, and you don't feel like, well,
ambushed.
Ambush is a great analogy for this, because I'm sure people walking in there, they're like, I'm going to get my gingerbread cookie on, and we're going to watch them Christmas Vacation. They're like, all right, listen here, I got some problems. They probably feel like, hey, I don't want to have this conversation right here in front of all these people. So if you are in a situation where you've wronged someone or someone else has wronged you, having conversation prior to that, even if it is not to apologize, but just to talk about what happened, because
you may not resolve with it when one time.
I highly doubt most conversations like that would. I mean, there was a man in college I knew who had struggled a lot with his relationship with his parents, and it took years from him to reaching out to kind of build that trust up again, of just him going through, you know, childhood feeling very lonely in his own house. And it still took a lot of conversations to explain how he felt and how he got to that point. Now, is the relationship perfect? Absolutely not. Yeah. But, you know, it's a work in progress.
Sure.
You know,
progress is progress.
Progress is progress. I do know that I've had to learn over the years, just because you say, I'm sorry, does not stop the other person feeling the way they feel.
No. Because they don't feel the way they're apologizing for. They're like, well, yeah, fine, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not sincere. It's not like, well, what are you sorry for? Let's talk through that.
Right.
And these are our suggestions here are assuming that some of these people in this situation can actually communicate with each other. And so one of our talking points here was, and if you're driving in traffic right now, don't get into an accident rolling your eyes thinking about this. If you are a listener, go get out of your comfort zone and initiate the conversation. Mm. And if you are a talker, zip the lip and listen to the other person, because we tend to get in there and go to what we're used to.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to dominate this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person just listens, or vice versa. So give each other some grace here. And after all, we were supposed to love our families. Now, we're focusing on families here. This is about family and friends. And
you
could have the same kind of relationship with a friend that...
Oh, most definitely. I mean...
talking about here.
Families are a unique scenario, because in most instances, you are quote-unquote kind of forced to be around those people.
Sure.
I mean, friends you choose by nature, but... easily, the same thing can happen with a friend. I mean, I have several friends that I don't even speak to anymore because of grievances that they have thrown in my face or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And even after talking through it, we have decided, well, it's probably just best to go our separate ways.
Sure.
With friends, you have that luxury of being, well, you know what, in my stage of life in this season, I don't know if it'd be great for us to kind of continue to have a friendship here. Family, you really can't do that. But
apparently you've not met my family because I've had aunts and uncles and aunts and aunts live next to each other. And then it turns into the Hatfields and McCoys. And you're like, how do you live next to each other? It's like, so
yeah.
The next talking point, and we'll probably cover a couple of these quickly, the role of humility and forgiveness, you know, mm-hmm. the importance of trying, going in with a humble spirit.
Yeah.
This is not like a class reunion where you're trying to paint this picture of, yeah, well, this is my third Ferrari this year. And in forgiveness, if you were open to forgiving that person, this is a great time to do both of those. And so I guarantee if we started to approach our holiday gatherings with truth and grace, boy, they would be a lot better for all of us. And then, you know, the realistic expectations for reconciliation. Again, we may not solve all world problems at one family function. So don't go in there and say, well, I feel like a failure because I have not reconciled with these three people.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't get together beforehand, you can always call. You know, phones still do work. You're actually probably holding one right now. It actually is a phone. Phone, or if you can't do that, maybe email. Just say, you know, look, this is where I'm feeling right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can talk more at the, when we get together kind of thing. But I just want to reach out to you before we got there. So I think getting realistic about your expectations is important too. Because if you go there and say, I'm just going to ruin this for everybody. Or, yeah, I think we're going to fix this. But it's going to take that person a couple times to do that.
Right.
You've got to be okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, and even say you apologize or they apologize and, you know, you accept the apology, they accept the apology. That doesn't immediately make the emotional ramifications of that slight go away. I mean, they're still going to feel that, right? I mean, you can ask for forgiveness and be forgiven, and there's still ramifications to the actions that were taken. It just takes time to build up that original friendship or family relationship as time goes on. And I don't think we can expect the immediate response of forgiveness for someone that maybe we don't put in the effort to have a relationship with. I mean,
sure.
I think that if in these scenarios that we're talking about, if it's someone that we don't have a relationship with in our family, that'll be 10 times more difficult to have reconciliation with
sure.
than someone that maybe we speak to on a weekly basis. And, you know, that every situation is obviously vastly different. I mean, it may be a very good reason you don't have a relationship with that person.
Yeah.
But if there isn't, you know, there are plenty of ways that you can, you know, be a light in their life. They can be a light in your life. I mean, there are plenty of people in our church that are of an older season that our Bible study is trying to get in touch with and have them mentor us. And, you know, the same thing can be said about families. I mean, there's plenty of people in our family and in my wife's family that are older than that can impart wisdom into us.
Sure.
But that's not, it's not a transactional thing where it's like, oh, you're family now, cool, give me your wisdom, or I get all forgiveness. There's a relationship that needs to go impart with that.
Sure, sure. And we didn't even talk about repeat offenses. Like you might go there and apologize and then you do the exact same thing, or they do the exact same thing 2 months later. So learning from that and then not repeating it is going to help future events.
Yeah.
So our second segment verse is Luke 15:20. It says, so he got up and went to his father. And this is talking about the prodigal son. Mm. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And so, you know, this is about the son had to come to his senses, the Bible says. He's standing in a pig trough and to come to his senses. And he came back to his father. His father could have been like, you back.
You're right.
Or, I'm sorry, you're not welcome here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you need to apologize before you come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. So, yeah, I wish all of our events, our holiday gatherings, were a little bit like that open arms type situation. Mm-hmm. So, why don't you give us our challenge, Joshua?
So, to kind of wrap up our conversation about reconciliation here, we're going to challenge you that before your next family gathering, reach out to a relative or a friend whom you have a strained relationship with. That's going to be a very tough one for most of us. This could be simple messaging, a text message, email, even a little phone call, expressing your desire to have a peaceful, enjoyable time during the holidays, or an offer to talk and clear up any misunderstandings. It kind of goes back to what we've been saying.
Sure.
Trying to be preemptive and set expectations on both sides. And those steps will help you have a better Christmas gathering.
Sure, sure.
I mean, that whether it is a situation that you get to reconciliation, that conversation, or start the building blocks too, that will help them and you understand expectations of, okay, this person is trying to make an effort. So I highly recommend you take that challenge if that is something that you have been thinking about and dreading, as our stats have talked about,
right,
in the coming weeks here for Christmas.
I would end it with, go have an uncommon family gathering.
Mm-hmm.